And hey, as we jump into our message today, I got to ask you a question. And the question is, are you a Swiftie? Like, are you a fan of Taylor Swift? You know, you like her music. Are you one of the 5.2 million people who bought a ticket to her Eras tour? Are you a fan of Taylor Swift? Now, I know a bunch of you are just really not a fan. You don't like her music. You rooted against the Chiefs last weekend in the Super Bowl. You are mad that I'm even talking about Taylor Swift right now. You know, it seems to me that Taylor Swift and her music, you're either a big fan or kind of not a fan at all. But whatever you think about her and her music, she wrote a song. It's called Anti-Hero, and the lyrics to this song, I think she's on to something. I think there's some truth in this song. So here's how the chorus goes. It goes like this. It's me, hi, I'm the problem, it's me. Have you heard this one? It's me, hi, I'm the problem, it's me. That's right. Now, unfortunately, I just lost most of you because that song is going to be in your head. You're not going to hear anything that I just said. But I think she's on to something with these lyrics. She's going, look, I'm the problem. And I wonder, have you ever felt like that? You know, you just look around at your life, some of the issues you're dealing with, and you're just going, yeah, I'm the problem. You want to pursue healthy habits, you know, eat better, exercise, and you just don't. You know, after the last sermon series that Jeff walked us through, you want to spend less and you want to save more, but you just don't. You want to live with healthy boundaries and you just seem to be unable to do it. In your more honest moments, you just go, yeah, it's me. Hi, I'm the problem. It's me. So here we are. We're in week two of this series called Enemies of the Soul. This is a spiritual warfare series. We're talking about spiritual warfare. We're talking about three real enemies to our soul, to our happiness, to our joy, to our faith. And the second enemy that we're going to be looking at today, it's an enemy that's within us. And I think this is kind of what Taylor Swift is talking about. I'm the problem. And the Apostle Paul, he calls this enemy the flesh. So we're going to be talking about the flesh today. What it is, how we recognize it, and how we fight against it. Now, let me show you where we're going today in the scriptures. I'm going to use a map. We're going to be going to three different locations, Rome, Ephesus, and Galatia, because the Apostle Paul wrote letters to congregations, to believers in each of these cities. And so if there's a text from the Bible for today's message, it's kind of the writings of Paul. A lot of stuff that Paul wrote about this idea of the flesh. And by the way, if you want to go a little deeper this week, I would just encourage you to check out these passages, Romans 7 and 8, Ephesians 2, Galatians 5 and 6. Spend some time in these passages. You'll learn a lot about the flesh. Also, if you want to go a little deeper this week, we got a podcast that goes along with this series. It's called the Beyond the Weekend podcast, and new episodes will hit Wednesday morning. So check that out if you want to dive a little bit deeper into some of the stuff that we're going to talk about today. Now, why does this matter? I mean, like, who cares, right? Like, let's talk about what's on the table, what's at stake as we talk about this enemy of our soul, the flesh. And here it is. This is about the future you. This is about the person that you are becoming. So let me ask you, who do you want to be in a year? Who do you want to be in 5 years, 10 years? What kind of person do you want to be? What kind of faith do you want to have? What kind of father do you want to be? What kind of mother do you want to be? What kind of husband? What kind of wife? What kind of leader? What kind of friend? Who do you want to be? We're talking about the future you, and I'm just telling you, it depends on your relationship with the flesh. It really does. And as we talk about the future year, I just know that some of you are just going, yeah, well, I don't really like who I am right now. You're just in space and you're frustrated, you're struggling. And I just want to tell you, there is hope for you here. And some of what we're going to unpack in Paul's letters, there is hope for you to head in a new direction and experience life and peace and joy, perhaps like you've never experienced in your life. So let's talk about the flesh. This message is going to unfold in three parts, and part one is the enemy within. So we're going to start in his letter to the Ephesians. They were in Ephesus, a big Roman city. And this is a passage that I hope is familiar because we looked at it last weekend. It's kind of like the foundational passage for this series. And what Paul is doing here is he's talking to these first century Christians about who they were before they came to Christ, about kind of their situation in their lives. He says, when you followed the ways of this world, that's the first enemy of the soul, the world. When you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, a very interesting way to talk about the devil. That's just the second enemy of our soul, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh. There it is. The third one, the one we're going to talk about today, and following its desires and thoughts. So the world, the flesh, and the devil. Last weekend we talked about the devil. Today we're going to talk about the flesh. Now, an important question that we should be asking is this. What does Paul mean by the flesh? When he says this word, the flesh, what is he talking about? It comes from ancient Greek, which is what the New Testament was written in, and it's the word sarx, which I think is just a very fun-sounding word. And the question is, flesh, I mean, is that like the physical part of you? Is that your body? And no, in this passage, Paul is not talking about your physical body. And I think this is really important because there is a philosophy out there that says, look, the physical part of you is bad and the spiritual part of you is good. But that does not come from the Bible. That does not come from the writings of Paul. Because think about it. When God created the world, according to the book of Genesis, he created the physical world, and what did he say? He said, it is good. And then he created human beings with physical bodies, and he said, it is very good. So Paul's not talking about your flesh as the physical part of you. The physical part of you is good. God created you. Look, you might not be a big fan of your body, but God is. It is good. So he's not talking about the physical part of you being bad and the spiritual part of you, the immaterial part of you being good. So what's he talking about? Well, he makes it pretty clear. Let's look closely again at that verse about the flesh. He says, all of us lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires in thoughts. Three descriptives. Do you see that? Cravings, desires, and thoughts. I might just summarize that by saying wants. He's talking about the things that we want, the desires and the cravings that we have. Okay, got it. So desires, cravings, these are bad. So we should be like Jedi, right? No desires, no attachments. No, that's not it either. Because God created us to want. God created us with desires. He created us with cravings and even needs. See, God designed you to want things, and this is good. God put within you the desire for friendship, to connect with other people. God created you with a desire to create, to make art, to make music, to build, to play Lego. I mean, let's go. God created you with a desire for security, to achieve. God created you with a desire for good food, like steak tacos. And God created you with a desire for intimacy, emotional and physical. All these desires that I just described to you, they are good. They are natural, and God put them within you. So the flesh, it's not what you want. It's a little bit more nuanced than that. Because here's what we need to understand. Here's what we need to remember. When the first human beings rebelled against God's leadership, the world broke. Sin entered into this planet, and this world does not work the way that it was designed to work anymore. And the same thing happened with our hearts. Sin entered every single human heart, mine and yours. And what that means is that your heart doesn't work the way that it was designed to work. You can't always trust your heart. And what this means is that your desires and the things that you want have become corrupted. You were born with broken desires. So what is the flesh? The flesh is that part of you that wants what you should not want. That's what the flesh is. And this brings us to an old guy. An old guy who lived in like 300s, 400s AD. His name is Augustine of Hippo. He was an important church leader, church father, bishop of Alexandria in Egypt. And something that he said about our flesh, I think, is so helpful. So look at this with me. Here's Augustine of Hippo. He says, "We either love the wrong things or the right things in the wrong order." This is what the flesh, this enemy of the soul within us, this is what it does. We love the wrong things. This is why there are times when you want something, you want to buy something, you want to look at something, you want someone that you should not want. Our flesh, what does it do? It causes us to love the wrong things. It corrupts and distorts and twists our very desires. But more than that, it actually causes us to want the right things, but in the wrong order. And I'm sure that you've felt this. I mean, it's possible to love your kids, to love your work, to love sports, to love physical fitness to a degree that it becomes out of order, where it's no longer good and right. It's like it becomes more important than God. Actually, probably the more accurate way to say it is, it becomes your God. This is what idolatry is. We can love our kids in a way that conflicts with our love for God. We end up loving the right things, but in the wrong order. So this is the flesh. It's this enemy within us. This is what it causes us to do. So what do we do about it? What do we do about this enemy within? Well, first, I think just awareness, understanding. There is something within me that these desires that are not good. And I think it should just cause us to pause when we experience a desire and just go, where did that come from? And instead of just going, well, I felt this, and so I'm going to go for it, just to go, wait, time out. Where did that come from? Is this my flesh? Is this a wrong desire? Is this a good desire, but in the wrong order? I think just an awareness and understanding, honestly, just to pause in life and to ask the question, I think that is incredibly wise. But it's not just that we need to be aware that there's an enemy within. We need to be aware of something else. We need to be aware that there's a war going on inside of every single one of us who is a follower of Jesus. So part two, as we talk about the flesh, let's talk about the war within. Now, jump with me over to the book of Galatians, Paul's letter to a bunch of different churches in this Roman province of Galatia. And he says to them, "For the flesh desires what is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want." Paul says, don't just go around doing whatever you feel. That is a really bad idea. I mean, the cultural mantra, just follow your heart. Paul's like, no, don't do that, because you have this flesh within you. But he's describing a conflict. He says, you got your flesh over here that desires one thing, and then you got the spirit over here that desires another, and there is a conflict going on. Okay, we already discussed the flesh. We know what this is. It's the desires within us. We want the wrong things. We want the right things, but in the wrong order. But what does he mean by the spirit? Is he talking about like the good part of you and the bad part of you? No, that's not it. He's actually not even talking about the physical part of you and the immaterial. When he says spirit, he's not talking about your soul. What he's talking about is the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, God himself, the very presence of God. Because here's what happens. When you put your trust in Jesus and what he accomplished on the cross to receive forgiveness of your sins from God, God gifts you the perfection of Jesus so that when he looks at you, he sees you as perfectly right seeing the perfection of Jesus, but he also gifts you something else, and that is his presence. He gifts you himself, the Holy Spirit, to come and reside within you, to guide you, to teach you, to remind you. And so what he's talking about here is the desires of the flesh and the desires of the Holy Spirit within you, and they want different things. They are in conflict. And I just got to ask you, those of you who are followers of Jesus, do you feel this? I do. I mean, there are days when it's like I feel a desire to do something. I want something. And it's like there's this other voice, the Spirit, that's like, no, don't do that. It's not going to be good for you. Sometimes it's flipped around where I sense the Spirit going, step into this. I want you to embrace this. And there's another part of me that goes, I don't want to do that. That sounds hard. That's going to be embarrassing. I don't want to do that. These desires, they are in conflict. I feel it. If you're a follower of Jesus, I know you feel it. You know what? Even the great Apostle Paul felt this. This massively important leader in the early church who wrote most of the New Testament, he felt this tension. So let me show you this. This is wild. If you've never heard this before, this is, I love this. This is wild. So Romans chapter 7, verse 15. This is Paul. I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. He sounds confused, doesn't he? For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do. This I keep on doing. He sounds frustrated. He sounds bewildered. He's like, I just can't get it right. And you just get a sense of this tension, these competing desires, and Paul just talks about how he's unable to do the things that he wants to do because of these conflicting desires. And so I read these words to you, perhaps just as an encouragement, to go, look, if you feel that war within you, like, that's normal. I mean, the fact that you feel the tension, that's good. But understand something. Paul was not satisfied with this. Paul, he was not okay with this. Paul was not, you know, oh well, you know, sometimes you do well, sometimes you do bad. So you win some, you lose some. No, that was not Paul's attitude about the flesh and the Spirit within him. And the reason is because there are serious consequences to consistently listening to the voice of the flesh. Following those desires, I mean, there are serious consequences. What's at stake is the future you. The person that you are becoming is on the table here. So listen to how Paul talks about this. Again, just jumping around back to Galatians. Very strong words from the Apostle Paul. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. He says, don't kid yourself. You will harvest what you plant. And he's not talking about gardening. He goes on. He says, whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. He's just going, look, you can't plant potatoes and think you're going to get pineapple. That's just not how it works. But again, he's not talking about farming. He's not really talking about gardening. He's talking about your life. He's talking about the person that you are becoming. And he just goes, don't lie to yourself. If you listen to the voice of the flesh, if you chase those desires, you will reap the consequences of this in your life. But flip it around. Listen, if you listen to the voice of the Spirit, if you follow that voice, you will reap here. And he says you will reap what? Eternal life. And I think we should understand this in the way that Jesus talks about eternal life, where Jesus says, I have come that they may have life, and life to the full, life overflowing, life abundantly, the kind of rich, meaningful, joy-filled life that all of us are after. But his point is, look, you reap what you sow. Now, I know enough about gardening to understand that you don't reap on the same day that you sow. Yes, I've figured this out. I mean, I know enough about gardening that you don't even harvest in the same month that you plant. In fact, you don't even reap the same season that you sow. But make no mistake, you will reap what you sow. And I think this is Paul's point. Look, maybe you think that you can follow these desires of your flesh and control it right now. Maybe you can handle it. But Paul says, you will see destruction in your life. Something that you care about is going to get blown up and get destroyed. I mean, maybe you think you can drink without boundaries in your 20s. You can handle it. You can function. But don't lie to yourself. Eventually, you are going to destroy something that you care about. Your health, your career, your friendships. Yeah, maybe you can watch pornography right now, and you can hide it. You can quarantine it over here. Maybe you think you can manage it, but don't lie to yourself. Eventually, something is going to get blown up in your life. Something is going to get destroyed. Your mind, your ability to have healthy relationships with people. Listen, you will unleash destruction in your ability to be intimate in marriage. Don't lie to yourself. And what's fascinating is modern neuroscience backs this up. It validates it. I mean, you talk about neural pathways and how our brains actually work. The more you say yes to a desire, the stronger those pathways become. They become like a well-worn rut, to the degree that it's like this. It's not just that you complain. It's not just that you gossip. It's not just that you get angry and yell at your kids. But every time that you do this, you reinforce it, and pretty soon it's not that you complain, but you are a complainer. It's not that you gossip, you are a gossip. It's not just that you get angry and yell, you are an angry person. Paul says you reap what you sow. And so again, who do you want to be? Who are you becoming? Who do you want to be in 5 years? And I just recognize that some of us, we are staring something in the face right now. A desire of the flesh that we have chosen to indulge, and you just know that you are not headed to a good place. Or you're in a bad place right now, and you're just seeing it. And I just believe that for some of us, God, this is why God brought you here today. That God has been preparing you for a conversation about the flesh. And I just want to say to you, it does not have to be like this. You can be free. You can experience life and freedom in Christ. This can happen for you. And it can happen starting right now. But we need to talk about how do you actually win this war that's going on inside of you. So part three is winning the war. So Paul, he's got strong words for us, this time from his letter to the Romans, chapter 8. He says, that's not true. Hold on, I'm confused. Galatians 5, 24. Here we go. He says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And if you're thinking that sounds extreme, it is. It is. Crucified the flesh. This is the language of execution. This is the language of killing. And here's the big idea here. If you want to actually win this war that's going on inside of you, you got to start acting like there's actually a war going on. And you've got to start acting like this enemy within you, your flesh, that this is a serious and dangerous enemy. And I think what Paul is getting at here is, you know what, we need to stop messing around with these sinful desires. We need to stop playing around with sin. We got to stop trying to manage them, and instead, we need to kill them. We need to execute them. We got to start acting like there's actually a war going on inside of us, which brings me to another old guy. I don't know why I'm so into old guys in this sermon, but let me introduce you to John Owen. So this guy, he lived in the 1600s. He was like a Puritan preacher. A couple things you got to know about him. Number one, great hair. I'm sure that you'll agree with me there. Secondly, he wrote a book called The Mortification of Sin, which is a really old way of saying killing sin. And so this is something that he wrote. I think it's just so powerful. He said, be killing sin, or sin will be killing you. It's weird 1600s grammar, but you get the idea. You've got to be crucifying your flesh, or it's going to kill you. And again, I just know that some of us, I mean, sin is killing you right now. It's killing your joy, killing your peace, killing your integrity, killing your marriage, killing your relationship with your kids. And John Owen would say, well, you've got to kill it. And so here's my challenge for you. I'm going to put these words on the screen. Is this: take decisive action. If you find yourself in a place today where you do not like where you are at, you do not like where you are heading, I'm telling you, take decisive action. Today. Find a friend who you trust, who cares about you, and say, this is what's going on. This is what I'm dealing with. This is what I've been involved with. I mean, confess what's actually going on. Some of us, I mean, we need to go to AA this afternoon. We need to take decisive action. Some of you, you need to go to Verizon or whatever, trade in your iPhone for a dumb phone. Yeah, it'll be a bit embarrassing, but enough with what you're looking at on your phone. Take decisive action. Some of us, marriage counseling, it needs to happen this week. I'm just saying, if you want to actually win this war in your heart, win this war against the flesh, you've got to take decisive action. Be killing sin, or sin will be killing you. Now, I want to be clear about something. In order to win this war, willpower alone is not going to do it. Try harder, it's not going to get it done. And you know what? You already know that because you've already done it. No, if you are going to defeat the flesh, you're going to need outside help. You are going to need a power that's beyond yourself. And what is that power? Well, Paul, in his letter to the Galatians, he's so clear about where the power actually comes from in this fight, in this war. It's all over Galatians 5 and 6. Let me just show you. I'm going to put it all on the screen. Just walk through it. Here's the theme. Here's the power. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. But the fruit of the Spirit, and this is that passage, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness. He says, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. And this passage we already looked at, whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Just over and over again, it's the Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit. We've got to walk with the Spirit, live by the Spirit, keep in step with the Spirit. It's all about your connection to the Spirit. Look, defeating the flesh, the power is not willpower. The power is Spirit power. It is only through the Holy Spirit that we will have the power to actually win this war. So how do you access the power of the Holy Spirit? Well, first off, and foundationally, if you've never put your trust in Jesus, I mean, if you've never given him your sin, all the things that you've done wrong, and asked for him to forgive you, if you've never received the Holy Spirit, then you do not have that power. And so literally, step one, put your trust in Jesus. You will receive the Holy Spirit and have access to the power of God in your life to transform and help you fight the flesh. So that's the foundational piece. But for those of us who are believers, we are Jesus followers, how do we access this? Romans, Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 8. Those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. It's all about your connection to the Spirit. It's about setting your mind on the Spirit. It's about having your mind governed by the Spirit. This is how we access the power. I might just put it this way. We've got to open our minds to the Spirit, and we've got to close our minds to the flesh. Open our minds to the work of the Spirit, the power of the Spirit, and close our minds off to these fleshly desires. And how do we do that specifically? Spiritual practices. Spiritual practices. So this idea, this is something that Jesus' followers from the very beginning have embraced. Some people call them spiritual habits. Some call them spiritual disciplines. I'm calling them spiritual habits. And the idea of these habits is to put yourself in space where the Spirit works. And let me give you the most obvious example of a spiritual practice, Bible study. It's like when you choose to read the Bible, to know God, to hear from Him, to be shaped by Him, what are you doing? You are putting yourself in space where the Spirit works in power. And when you do that, day after day and week after week, the Spirit begins to transform you. This is a spiritual practice. Now, there are a lot of options here that different Christians, different, you know, church backgrounds might pursue or talk about different practices. But let me show you seven spiritual practices that we emphasize here in our church. I'll just walk through them really briefly. Prayer, it's authentic conversation with God to be transformed by God. Bible study, I've already described to you. Solitude, it's taking a temporary break from people so that you can focus on your relationship with God. It's like people do this sometimes for a day, an afternoon, a weekend. Community, intentionally living together, doing life together with other followers of Jesus. It's community. Fasting, it's choosing to give something up temporarily to focus on God. Back in the ancient world, it was almost always food. These days, a lot of times it's technology. Putting something aside so you can focus on God. Celebration, intentionally expressing joy to God for who He is and what He has done. And then lastly, Sabbath. It's like refraining from work, stopping from work so that you can rest, so that you can be restored in God. So these are seven spiritual practices. They are ways that we place ourselves in space so that the Spirit can work in power. And let me just say this very clearly. Spiritual practices are spiritual warfare. I mean, maybe this is a little bit more mundane than you were thinking spiritual warfare was, but this is it. And make no mistake, engaging in spiritual practices regularly, that is hard work, that is a fight, that is war. But these spiritual practices, this is how you engage in spiritual warfare against your flesh. This is how you will begin to be able to open your mind to the Spirit and close your mind to the flesh. Now, if you want to get serious about winning this war within you, you've got to embrace spiritual practices. So let me just give you a couple very practical ideas here that list again on the screen of the spiritual practices. Do not try to be a spiritual superhero. Do not try to do all seven of these tomorrow. I'm just saying it's going to be a train wreck. you're going to get frustrated. So here's my challenge. One. Pick one. I would pick the one that seems to really line up with whatever desire of your flesh that you're struggling with and pursue that. Do it tomorrow, do the next day, do the next day. Try to get a handle on, try to gain mastery, if you will, over one of these. Don't try to do all seven at once. And then in time, you can add to them. And perhaps down the road, you will be engaging in all seven of them, but just start with one. Now, so that's the first idea. Here's the second one. We're going to be offering a class, Ada Bible Academy. We have a class on spiritual practices. I think it's happening in April, where we'll walk through all seven of these over the course of a couple evenings. And maybe you should sign up for this class. I think it's going to be fantastic. So there's a great option to take a step. But if you're just in a place where you're like, look, April, I need to take action now. I need to learn about these now. I need to embrace these now because I need to defeat the flesh. Okay, one last idea. I got a book. It's called Celebration of Discipline. Now, I asked a lot of smart friends, what's the best book on spiritual practices? And they all said this one. Now, he calls them spiritual disciplines. I'm calling them spiritual practices. Same deal. But this is a book. You can order it, you know, wherever you get your books. It's great. And it'll teach you about each one of these and how to start implementing them. So if you want to take action now, grab the book. So let me close with this. A question. Who are you becoming? Who do you want to be? A conversation about the flesh is the conversation about the future you. So I ask you again, what kind of mother do you want to be? What kind of father? What kind of wife? What kind of husband do you want to be? What kind of friend? What kind of leader? What do you want your faith to look like 5 years from now? What do you want your integrity to look like a decade from now? What kind of old person do you want to be? And here's the honest truth. It really doesn't matter that much what you want. It matters what kind of seed you're planting. It matters what voice you are listening to. The more we say yes to our flesh, the more we will see destruction in our lives. And some of you need to take a drastic step today. And I would just challenge you, do it. I mean, when we close the service, there's a prayer team up here. Some of you, you need to come forward because you just need to say something. And you need somebody to pray for you. You just need to confess what's going on. So who do you want to be? It depends on your relationship with the flesh, but it also depends on your relationship with the Spirit. And so let me encourage you, final words from Paul, from his letter to the Galatians. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. And I just know that so many of you are working to choose these spiritual practices, to lean into the activity of the Spirit. So let me just encourage you with these final words. Paul says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. So don't give up. A harvest is coming. So Heavenly Father, I just lift up brothers and sisters who are just struggling with their flesh right now. God, would you bring freedom? God, would you bring hope? God, would your Spirit move in power in our lives and in our church that we might experience life in you? God, help us to choose your way to say no to our flesh. God, we are so grateful that you gave us yourself, the Holy Spirit. God, we thank you and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, thanks so much for being here. Such a privilege to open the scriptures with all of you, and we'll see you next weekend.